Okay, first of all, welcome to all you guys. I'll get to meet you guys hopefully maybe after this year. And I know you guys have a big schuss, such a good Rebbe, such a special Rebbe. You can take advantage of him, work him hard. And this year is actually going to go towards the job of a Rebbe. No pressure. So it'll go in that direction a little bit. I'll try to make it as much as possible, you know, understandable. It's a little bit of deeper ideas. We'll try our best to try to explain the concepts. Before we start, the shir is a schos for Fu Shlema for Yanta Fegel Bat Yita. Fu Shlema Mit Hashem. So in this parak, the Baal Tanya, who was the first of the Chabad Rebbes, he's going to discuss how he classifies, how he is magdir, what his definition of a tzaddik is. Tzaddik, a righteous person. Now, it's a very big madriga. It's a very big madriga. But I want to try to have us be related to it a little bit. I'm not sure if you guys will be here for the actual text part, but for this part, to understand a tzaddik, how to connect to a tzaddik, or how to connect to your tzidkus. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, big rash, there was a lot of noise, there was a lot of the malachim, they didn't want man to be created. Why should you create man? Man's going to do averis. So Chazal tell us, our rabbis tell us, that Kadosh Baruch Hu was nimlach bin ishmaseim shal sadikim. Kadosh Baruch Hu consulted with the neshamas of the malachim, of the tzaddikim, the souls of the tzaddikim. Should we create the world? Tzaddikim said, yeah, we should create the world. So Kadosh Baruch Hu afterward came and he created the world. The Baal Tanya himself, he has different svarim, and another sefer of his is called the Kutei Torah. He explains that there's a concept called Amech Kulam Tzaddikim. Your whole nation are Tzaddikim. Every Yid is a Tzaddik. So it doesn't mean that he was just consulting with the Tzaddikim as we know it. You know, the Chaim Kanievskis or whoever everybody Tzaddik is, whoever your Tzaddik is, he wasn't just consulting with the Tzaddik. He consulted with every single Yid. Every single Yid he consulted with. Amich, Kulam, Tzaddikim. Everybody's a Tzaddik. So you could ask a question. So Amich, Kulam, Tzaddikim. Every Yid is a Tzaddik. And there's Tzaddikim. And the answer is really, you know, pashut. It sounds like a silly question a little bit. But if I'm a Tzaddik, Amich, Kulam, Tzaddikim. Every Yid is a Tzaddik. And, you know, the Tzaddikim, there's Tzaddikim. So what's the difference between me and them? So the answer on a surface level is pashut. You know, they're the tzaddikim, and then, you know, we're us. But what it really means to be a tzaddik, what a tzaddik really is that he takes this part of him, which is a tzaddik, which is called Amech Kulam Tzaddikim. Every Yid has a part of him which is tzaddik, untouchable, untouchable. He takes that part of him, and he brings that out, meaning he doesn't leave it dormant inside of himself. What he does is he brings that koyach, that tzidkus that's inside of him, and he brings it out, and his whole life now, his whole being is tzaddik. His whole being is a tzaddik. That's the difference between a tzaddik and everybody else who has the ability to be a tzaddik. That's the difference between a tzaddik and an amich kulam tzaddikim. Every Yid is a tzaddik. The difference is only that they took out this koyach of being a tzaddik to actually bring it out, and they actually now are tzaddikim. So it's not that, you know, a person, he, you know, he's a simple person, and then he works really, really hard, and then like he becomes this thing called a tzaddik. That's not what it means. What it means is that you take something that you have already, which is called tzaddik, and you bring it out, me'akoyach al-apoyah. You bring it from being dormant, and you bring it out, and now it's outside, it's alive, it's real. That's the difference between a tzaddik and everybody else. They bring it out, this tzitzkus of theirs. So the question is, how? How do they do that? What's the difference between them and us? So the answer lies in the pasuk. That the pasuk says by tzaddikim, tzaddik be'emunasu yichya. A tzaddik lives with emuna. So we commonly know emuna as what? Faith. I believe in something. I know that something is true. That's a common way of understanding what emuna is. But there's a much deeper way to understand emuna. A much deeper way to understand what emuna is, what faith is. It doesn't just mean faith. There's an Oyev Yisrael, the Apta Rav. Apta Rav is a big, big topic. Apta Rav, in his Sefer, he's talking about Noach. Noach, a few parts ago, with Parshas Noach. And it says by Noach, that Noach, Rashi says, that he didn't come inside the Teva, he didn't go inside the Ark, inside the Teva, until it started to rain. So Rashi says, you see, he didn't start going inside of the Teva, he didn't go inside the Teva until it started to rain. So Rashi says over there, Shenoyach haya mekatnei ha'amana. Noach's amuna was small. Noach's amuna was small. Mamin ve'ein ha'mamin. He was a mamin and he wasn't a mamin. He believed and he didn't believe. Until it started to rain, oh, it started to rain, now I'm going to go inside the Teva. Noach, his amuna was small. So I'm making it sound pretty bad right now for Noach. But if you pay attention, it's going to be a little bit of a twist to the godliness of Noach and the greatness of Noach. Rashi is not speaking about the lowliness of Noach. He's speaking about the greatness of Noach. The pshat's like this. The Ohev Yisrael says, now what does it really mean, Mekatnei Amana? Noach was Mekatnei Amana? He says, the Pasuk says by Mordechai and Esther. Mordechai raised Esther. She was orphaned. And Mordechai raised Esther. And it says in the Pasuk, Oimin Es Hadasa, the word used for raising Esther is Vehi Oimin Es Hadasa, Lashon of Emunah. He said, you see from here that the fact that we use the word of Oimin Emunah as a word of having Esther grow up, Mordechai having her grow up, raising her, he says that Emunah means that you're drawing out the kayach of something, you're pulling something out. When you raise somebody, you pull out their potential in order that they should be able to grow. That's what you call when you raise somebody. Your parents are trying to raise you, that you should be able to grow up and you should be prepared for the rest of your life that comes afterwards. So he says, you see that oimein means to draw something. You pull something. But he oimein is hadasa. He was raising hadasa. And he was pulling her along, helping her be guided. So he says, that's what emunah is. A real emunah, it doesn't just mean emunah, it means I believe in something. Emunah means the ability to take something and bring it into my world. It means to draw down something into my world. If there's something which is above me and I can't understand it, it's beyond me, but I want to bring it into my life, the first thing I have to have is emunah in it. The first thing I have to have is a belief in it, and then only when I believe in it does it become a part of my reality. The oimin es hadasa means to pull, it means to draw. So too, this is what Noach did. Now, pay attention, this is an unbelievable idea. Noach was a tzaddik. Noach had big emunah. He didn't have small emunah, really. Noach had big emunah. And he really believed that Hashem was going to bring a mabul into the world. He was going to bring the flood. He was going to bring it. But Noach knew that if he would put all of his emunah into the mabul and really believe it, so what does emunah mean? Emunah means I'm drawing something down. I'm bringing it into reality. So if he would really believe in it, then it would mean that it would be because of him that the marble would come. Because his emunah would bring it into reality. That's what he says. So Noah, he didn't want to have emunah. He didn't want to have emunah in the marble. So he was mekani almana. He had very little emunah in it. He tried not to have emunah in it. Because if he would have a moon in it, then he would be the cause because of the faith that he had in it. And faith means to draw something down. It would be because of him that the marble would come. That's what it means, the moon. Any questions on that? Is that clear? Number, if someone doesn't understand, please speak. Don't be shy. Clear? That's what it means, emuna. Emuna means I'm bringing something which is above me, and I believe in it. It's my ability to bring it down into my world. This is the difference between a tzaddik and somebody who's not a tzaddik. This is what it means, tzaddik b'menosu yichya. Before that, there was a story with, it was a rav in America. His name was the Minchas Yehuda, the Stachin Rav. Yehuda from Stachin. And there was somebody, Lalenu, that they weren't able to have children. It was over 20 years that they didn't have children. And he didn't, this person didn't hang around the base medrash often, but he came around here and there. And he went over to the tzaddik, went over to the Rav. And he asked him for a bracha. They gave him a kvittel. Kvittel is like a paper with your name on it. He gave him a kvittel. And he said to the Rav, I haven't had children in over 20 years. So he said to him, do you believe you still could have children? He said, 100%. I believe still I could have children. 100%. So he gave him a bracha. 9 months later, he had a child. 9 months later, he had a baby boy. And the Rav, the Minchas Yehuda himself, he was the tzaddik at the bris. He was the one who held the baby by the bris. And everybody was talking about this great, great mofus, this miracle that the tzaddik did, that the Rav Yehuda did. And he said, it wasn't a miracle what I did. It's not a miracle when you believe in something. If you still believe Hashem could do it, if you have belief in it, it means that you're connected to it and it could still be brought into your reality. That's what emunah means. It wasn't a chiddush. That it wasn't a novel idea that he was able to have a child because he believed in it. Of course, it is novel because he didn't have a child for over 20 years. But to a tzaddik, emunah is so pashut that you live a life of emunah and that everything could be done through emunah. That's the pshat tzaddik b'emunah yichya. See, we said the difference between a tzaddik and everybody else is that he took his tzidkus that he has, his amech kulam tzaddikim, the essence tzidkus that he has, and he brings it out, me'akayach alapoyo. He brings it out from being dormant, and he brings it outside of himself. And he lives a life of that. He becomes that. How did he come that? How did he bring it out? The answer is tzaddik b'menasu yichya. He believed that he could become a tzaddik. He believed that he could reach tzitzkus. That's what he believed. Every person, every yid has to believe, I could become a tzaddik, because it's not so far from me. You could ask yourself, what do you mean? Look at me, I can't become a tzaddik, you know, I'm so far from that. No, it's not true. One time I was walking with my Rebbe, and I said to him, I said, Rebbe, I'm never going to become a tzaddik. Those are my words. I said, I'm never going to become a tzaddik. It's impossible for me to become a tzaddik. So he turned to me and he had a big smile, and he said to me, who says, maybe you will be. Nothing is short when it comes to emunah. We have the ability to do anything when we believe in it first, because our emunah means that we connect to it. Emunah, believing in something, means I'm connected to it. Tzaddik b'menasu yichya means that I believe I could become a tzaddik, I start drawing it into my reality. When is it going to happen? I don't know, that's Hashem's business. Maybe it'll happen in this lifetime, maybe it'll happen l'asid lavo, when Mashiach comes. Who knows when that tzaddik is going to happen? You're for sure going to get somewhere. I say this often, I think I said it recently in Mishas Sharm Shir, I said that, you know, there's Big Tzaddik and there's the Vilna Gaon, there's Yisrael Salanter, and there's Ramosha Feinstein. I read in a statement, it's probably not true how it actually goes, but the idea is true. It said that Yisrael Salanter said, I want to become like the Vilna Gaon, the Gra. And who did he become? He became Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. He said that Ramosha wanted to become Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, and who did he become? He became Rav Moshe. He became somebody called Rav Moshe. When you have the she'ifas and you look forward, you look towards what's ahead of you, and you look and you see sky's the limit, and because of that, and you believe it, that you have the ability to get there, so nothing is outside of your limit. Everything is in potential to come into your reality. This is the whole melchama against Amalek. Klaiso, they were climbing the ladder, going to Matan Torah, to Kabbalah's Torah, to get the Torah in our Sinai. It was a buildup. And there was no greater level of tzidkus of righteousness that Klal Yisrael ever reached like it was by Matan Torah. He became like Adam Rishon before he ate from the Eitz Hadas. Before he ate from the Eitz Hadas Torah. It was the greatest tzedakah we ever reached. And in the middle of the way, we have a big melchama. We have a melchama with who? We have a melchama with Amalek. Amalek comes. Amalek comes to make a big melchama on Klal Yisrael. So the Sfarim tell us that Amalek's midah, his attribute, what's unique about Amalek, is that Amalek is gematria suffik, doubt. Meaning Amalek is the ones who come in the middle of the way, on your way to becoming a tzaddik, wanting to become a tzaddik, to grow, to become a bigger person. And they stop in the way and they start putting a suffik, can I do it or can I not do it? Amalek is gematria suffik, they wage war and they start putting sfikas. They start putting doubt in our minds, can I do it or can I not do it? And in the war, Klal Yisrael, they were stuck in the war, they were fighting against Amalek. And they looked up to the mountain, and who did they see? They saw Moshe Rabbeinu, and his hands were up in the air. And what did it say in the pasuk by Moshe Rabbeinu? It says by Moshe Rabbeinu in the pasuk, by he yodav emuna ad bo ha-shamash. His hands were emuna. I mean, they looked up to Moshe Rabbeinu's hands, and when they had the suffix, could I get to Matan Torah, could I get to that titkis? They would look back up at Moshe Rabbeinu, and they would see his hands. And the pasuk says that they saw emuna, that's what they saw. And then they realized, no, we can do it. We can do it. We have a munah and we can do it. Because nothing is short when we go with a munah. So we should be zaych by Amir Tashem to believe in ourselves, which is the first step of every growth, is to believe in our greatness and in our tzitzkis that we have inside of ourselves. And we should be zaych to be able to go with a munah to take our tzitzkis that we have inside of us innately and to bring it out slowly but surely me'akoyach elapoyal. Shabbat Slacha, Amir Tashem, you guys should enjoy your Rebbe. Oh, that's what I wanted to say. I didn't forget about you. This is also the job of a Rebbe. I mean, Amuna, I almost forgot about you, I'm sorry. I didn't plan this for the Rebbe, by the way. I planned this year and then it happened to be a really good Rebbe. So, a Rebbe, what's the job of a Rebbe? What does Amuna mean again? Amuna means I'm drawing something out. I'm drawing out the potential. That's what emunah means. The job of a Rebbe is to have emunah in every single Talmud. But the emunah in every single Talmud is not just stam, I believe in him. The Rebbe's emunah in the Talmud is the ability to draw out the kochos, the ability of the Talmud. Every Rebbe has to believe in his Talmidim, that they could bring out me'akoyach elapoyel, they could bring out their etzem tzidkus. That's the job of a Rebbe. So now, Mirtz Hashem, Baruch Hashem, you guys have a good Rebbe, and I know he believes in you guys. I get to speak to him, and I know that he believes in every single one of you. So that's why you guys are Mirtz Hashem, you guys are going to all become big tzaddikim. Mirtz Hashem, looking forward to seeing it. Mirtz Hashem, we should be zeichah that all of us should bring out our tzidkas me'akoyach elapoyel. Mirtz Hashem. Okay, so now we're going to go through the text itself. We spoke about last week, and we started in Perek Tes, we're up to Perek Yud now. In Perek Tes, we basically spoke about that there's the different places, the different makomos, where the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Toiv are in the body of a person. The Yetzer Toiv is in the mind, starts in the mayach of the person, the mind of the person. And the Yetzer Hara starts on the left side of the heart of a person. Starts on the left side of the lab of the person. And we spoke about that there's this big war, this big fight, very much what to do with this week's Parsha. There's the Yaakov and the Esav fighting, waging war against each other, Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara. And there's this melchama. And the job is that, you know, through our koyach of being mizboini and thinking about things, we start to bring out and be magbir. We have started having a year. And then in Ava, we explain two different types of love that we have to Hashem, that our hearts have more and more and more of a love for Hashem. And then it starts to go to the left side of the heart. Our right side of the heart becomes full of love. And it starts to go to the left side of our heart. And by that, we start to subdue Tahara. And now we're going to speak about two different types of tzaddikim. On how much they relate. How much they've started to remove from the left side of their heart, the Yetzirah. So we started in the beginning of the Sefer speaking about, and we defined really, that tzaddik a Beinoni, a Rasha, all these different levels of people. It's not just how they act, but it's an essence difference. Their essence is different from one another. A tzaddik's essence is different from a Beinoni and a Beinoni from a Rasha. And we're going to explain that now more. We're going to see that now very quickly. I'm probably going to read less than I wanted to. We'll probably stop in the middle because it is getting a little late. So we'll start with Perek Yud, where he's going to talk about now the two different types of tzaddikim. Hine, kesha odam magber nafsho elokis v'nilchem kol kach ima bahamas ad shemegarish u'mevarer harashaba mechalal asmovi. When a person starts to have his nefesh elokis, his neshama, overpower, wage war and overpower with the animalistic side of him, the Yitzhahara side of him, which is on the left side of his heart. Like it says, and you shall burn you shall destroy the Ra from inside of you. But even though he started to burn and destroy the Ra that's inside of him, the Ein Hara Nehapik L'Toiv Mamish. But his Ra has not yet started to turn over to be good. Meaning, we spoke about this last week, that is the difference between when you just subdue your Ra, which means you could say, I don't want to have, there's a piece of steak, I'm not having a piece of steak. And that was our example last week, I'm not having this piece of steak right now. Your machnia, your miskata, you push away, you work hard to push away that you're not going to eat that steak, even though I have a desire for it. And we're going to say some tzaddikim, when it comes to Madriga of tzaddikim, they don't even have a desire for it. It doesn't even talk to them, the steak. It doesn't even talk to them. That's the tzaddik we're about to say right now. And then there's certain tzaddikim, which is like a tzaddik gomor, that not only do they not want the steak, but their sole desire, complete, is godliness. They have no other desire. They can't even think about the steak. The steak's not even part of their system. It's not even part of their world, the steak. Their whole love, their whole taiva, their whole push is solely for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the madriga of a tzaddik. So that's what he says over here. Ve'inara nahapek l'toiv mamish. So these tzaddikim, their ra has not been completely turned over to toiv, meaning they don't have their sole desire only being just purely elokus. They do still have desire for elokus, of course. Nikra tzaddik she'eno gomer. This is called a tzaddik who she'eno gomer. He's a tzaddik, but he's not a full, complete she'eno gomer. I don't want to say, it's hard to say, not full, complete. He's not a tzaddik like a tzaddik which is gomer. V'tzaddik v'ralo. This is what it means. We asked in the beginning of the sefer, what is a tzaddik v'toivlo and tzaddik v'ralo? What's the difference? There's an essence difference between the two of them. A tzaddik v'ralo means that he still has some connection to Ra, even though that Ra is so out of his picture. But it's so little, it's so minute, the Ra, we're going to say it's batal, it's kemiut, which is batal, that it doesn't even come into his picture. So he doesn't even have the pull towards the stake. So the Heiner Shiyesh Bo Adayin Ma'at Mezer Ra B'Chalal Smoivi, he still has a little bit of Ra in his heart. Elish a cup of a batal atoyed, Machmas Mi'utoy. But it's completely batal, the Ra in his heart, to the toy, because the toe of it's so great and the Ra is so small. Therefore he thinks that he has no Ra at all, because he basically pushed it all away because it's so small. It's so not a part of his system. But the truth is, if Ra, what's the Raya that Ra is still there? Because if Ra would be gone completely, then even the left side of his heart, even his Yetzer Hara would become like a Yetzer Toiv. He would completely turn over his Ra to Toiv, and he would be completely soul, his soul, pure desire, would only be a Lekus. Any questions on that? Klar?
How does Yetzer Hara still do
that? How does Yetzer Toiv still do that? What do you mean?
How does Yetzer Hara still become Yetzer
Toiv? Well, that what you said, maybe that would mean that your Yetzer Hara means Taiva. It means that I have a desire for something. Actually, I'm not going to explain that right now. It means that your pure desire is only going to be a lakus. There is a deeper way to explain it, which means like a taiva which is beyond gavul. And your yetzahara, okay, I'll explain a little. Your yetzahara, okay, the way that it works is that your taiva when it comes from the nefesh of a kiss is mugbal because it comes from the seichel. When you're mahapech, even your yetzer toiv, your yetzer hara rather, and it becomes also part of yetzer toiv, it's megalin in you a certain av for Hashem, which is also bli gvul. That's what Tamsi is saying. Yeah. That's how, without any other hasberim other than that. It brings out a taiva to the kus, which is bli gvul. It has no gvulim at all. Masha'in came, the taiva, which would come purely from a nefesh elakis, might have a certain level of gvul, because it starts in a makom of gvul, starts in a moya. Is that good enough for you for now?
No comment.
No comment. Fine. So we'll read a few more lines here. Ubiyar inyan ki ne tzadik gomor shenahapech harash adu toiv. A tzadik gomor takes his ra, like we said, and makes it toiv. Chayin nikra tzadik v'toiv lo. Where the asaras begodim atzorim legami me'ara. He becomes a tzadik v'toiv lo. What does it mean tzadik v'toiv lo? It means a tzadik which is purely wanting toiv. Meaning there's no ra in him at all. It's not a part of his system at all. Everything about him is purely going for lakus. He removes his filthy garments that are on him completely. Because he completely despises the tanugim of this world. That he goes after the taivas of this world. The tzaddik has no connection to any of that. This tzaddik has no connection to the desires and the pleasures of this world. We're talking about a big madriga. Nobody should get scared. You know, we're talking about very big madrigas over here. This is a lifetime work. And more, huh?
No one should get shy either.
Yeah. Here. Amuna. Because where do these things come from? The tainugim of this world. They come from the place of Ra. They come from the Sitra Akhra, which we've explained before what Sitra Akhra means. It means Ra, but there's an explanation for the Akhra part of it. Ko ma shehum Sitra Akhra, anything that comes from the world of the Sitra Akhra, from the Yitzhara, atzadik gomor hu soina betaklis asina. He hates it, despises it to the fullest hatred. Because he has complete love for Hashem. The more love that you start to build up for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the deeper your love goes, the more extreme your love becomes, the more and more you start to hate the things which is the opposite of loving of Hashem, and things which connect you to Hashem. These are the exact opposites of each other. The tanugim of this world and the love for Hashem. So when you start to have one, the other one falls away. With the depth of hatred, I hated you. That's one pasuk. As David Melech saying, to the depths of hatred, I hate the ra. And the next pasuk, he says, search and know my heart. Meaning, know my heart how much I love you, Hashem. That's what he's trying to say. How much I love you. Meaning, there's two things that come together. Ayid has to start to hate as much as he can the desires of this world, but at the same time bring out the greatest love, and they go together with each other. However much love you have, that's how much the ra will fall. Kfi erech godol ava l'Hashem, kach erech godol hasin l'tishur achra. V'amiyut b'ra b'tachlis. The more you love Hashem, the more you desire Hashem, the more the ra will start to fall away slowly. Ki amiyus hu hevech ha'ava mamash k'mo sinna. Because the mias is the exact opposite of ava, like sinna is, like hatred towards this world. So we'll stop here. I read a little quick, I apologize. Anybody has any questions? They could come over it. Yeah. So
the government
doesn't have the I don't know if I would say that he doesn't have it. You could say that.
What would be
it's called Bikir, but it becomes a part of him. It becomes a part of him, the type. So it doesn't have a Yitzhara, but it could be worked for a type of Kedusha.
How does he work on himself to get better if it's all good?
That's a very good question. I was thinking about this a lot last night. Our Avoda is to work on ourselves to... I'm not sure this is the right answer. Okay? I was thinking about it a lot. I think on some level this is the right answer. You know, we work on ourselves a lot, and we have to be mevar and start to work on ourselves to get rid of our yetzer hara, right? So the tzaddik already did that. So what's his avoda? His avoda is us. Is being mashpia to us. His avoda is how am I gonna be mantik the call for Klal Yisrael, all the dinim for Klal Yisrael? How am I gonna make sure that Klal Yisrael only get good things? His avodah zarah become as much as it is working on his inner self, as opposed to as it is dealing with a much greater ra, which is bringing in toy for the world. That's the difference. Maybe.
Yeah, the manias that are holding him back from doing that are still coming from his zarah, no? Otherwise, he would be
outside of him.
Why?
They're not part of his system. The ra is not part of his system. There's no more ra in the world. There's still ra in the world. Huh?
He wants to do that.
That's going to be his ikra avodah. Maybe. It's a suggestion. Efshir. It's a dech efshir. Is that okay answer, dech efshir? I was thinking about it a lot last night. I couldn't... can't say that that's the answer, but it feels good. It feels good. Shkoyach.